Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropf.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Great to have you with us on Political Coffee. 2 hours today. This is the last week, but we're going to be at 2 hours for a while because the schedule is changing. Starting a week from today, you're going to have the opportunity to listen to 12 hours of live political talk radio. And maybe this is the only place in Oregon that you can get that. Live political talk radio, 12 hours of it, starting at 6 a.m. till 6 in the evening, starting next Monday. But for today, you got me for 2 hours. Next Monday, I'll be only 1 hour. A lot is changing in America, friends, and in my theory is that talk radio is going to become more important than ever for two reasons. You've heard me say this before, and this is why we deeply appreciate each of you listening to this radio station, KSLM, certainly this show, Political Coffee, but all of our great talk hosts, live talk show hosts. Because cancel culture and social media elites are not going away. And they're not going to stop suppressing and censoring our right to free speech. They're going to keep it up. They can't stop us here on radio. Oh, they could try the fairness doctrine again, but that'll die fast. But the reality is, folks, talk radio, the second reason talk radio is going to become more important is because Rush is gone. And what this means is there are new people that are emerging that offer you something important, something that's worthwhile to you. That's what I try to do every day on this show, and I'm going to try to do it again today. I want you to find something of value from this radio show. This is deeply important to me. It's why I do the show prep that I do, and it's why I try to talk about these things in the way that I talk about the political issues of the day. Because it gives you opportunities, thoughts, feelings, emotions that you can share with other people to change your world on a whole host of topics. That's why I do this show, and that's why I believe. That, to me, folks, was the reason that we kept going back and listening to Rush Limbaugh. In the initial stages of when Rush, you know, the Fairness Doctrine was changed in 1988. Rush, you know, started out of New York, took his Sacramento show and took it to New York and was syndicated with, I think, something like 50-some-odd stations. Blew up everything because he was entertaining at the same time. Talk radio has matured since that time, and while he still did some entertainment, he matured, and the audience matured, and we have all of these great talk show hosts now, and we have this incredible industry. Rush provided something of value to you and I every day, as does, I hope, more and more talk show hosts. Because right now, this America is changing. And talk radio is a huge component into preserving the republic as we know it. So I want each of you to understand that my goal, and I believe Stacey Ann's goal also in her Good Morning Salem show, is to give you a sense that it's not over. There is hope. Because my belief is, and this is what I told the Linn County Republican Party yesterday when I spoke to them, They had a big open house. They have a new Linn County Republican Party headquarters, and it's in Brownsville, which is very close to where I live, where my fifth-generation farm is here in Halsey. It's not in Albany right now. It's in Brownsville. Did you know, by the way, that Brownsville is the third oldest city in Oregon? Astoria is the oldest, Oregon City is the second oldest, and Brownsville is the third oldest. No kidding. I told a very large group of hungry Republicans, many of which are new, that I've never seen show up at a Republican Party function before in Linn County. That's a good thing, by the way. But I told them this yesterday, is that we need leaders to inspire us. We need leaders to step up at all levels. Right now, you have about a week, folks, to get signed up to save the Republic. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, it's what you've been hearing me talk about over the last few weeks. The way to save the Republic is for us to get active at the local level. It is your local county sheriff, is what I told them yesterday. It's individual states. It's you choosing to, this is why you have a week left, to register to fill all of these nonpartisan positions, governmental positions that you can be appointed or you can be elected to serve on a school board, serve on a water board somewhere, or the soil and conservation district, or a fire board. All of these are public policy positions where you get a chance to run to be either elected or appointed. This is an opportunity for you at the local level to stand against the tyranny and socialist communistic ideas evolving out of Salem and out of Washington, D.C. It's going to start with us. Now, why is that important? Because of sheriffs, because of county commissioners with the courage to stand up against tyrannical, unconstitutional acts. It starts with us, folks. It starts with you. You have that opportunity. Yesterday, there was a gentleman in the audience at the Linn County Republican Party open house, where their new headquarters is in Brownsville. And by the way, it's right on Main Street when you're driving in Highway 228. You're driving through Brownsville from, say, Halsey or the freeway to Sweet Home. It's on the main drag right there in the middle of town. A great big, tall, like, three-story building. It's the only one like it in town. And it's right there on the highway. Can't miss it. It's blue. That's where the Republican Party headquarters is. And frankly, they're already outgrowing it. That's a good thing. But there was a gentleman in the back of the room who said, and he articulated them, about half of the appointed or elected positions in these local government agencies are vacant. There's nobody even signed up for them. Now, Linn County is a conservative county, by and large, okay? And the Linn County Republican Party, like the Marion County Republican Party has done, has gotten active in some local politics. And an example of that is was defeating a lesbian, black, female judge that Kate Brown was backing, who was running to get elected as a judge in Linn County. And the Linn County Republican Party got really involved in that and made sure that lots of people knew about this woman's radical ideas. And she was defeated. If you want hope for the future, that's an example of it. But it only happened because a bunch of individuals came together and said, you know what? we're going to work as a team and we're going to stop this nonsense. It ain't going to happen here. Now, that's important because what has Linn County done? Well, you got a sheriff who's a constitutional sheriff who's made it very clear he's not going to enforce Kate Brown's unconstitutional edicts on anything, or Joe Biden's, or Congress's. Just ain't going to do it. Yeah, the Linn County commissioners have the courage to go sue the state of Oregon for not using the state lands, the Tillamook State Forest and the Elliott State Forest, that constitutionally have to be used and produce revenue for schools and roads. They sued and they won. Now, that's under appeal. But my point is that a conservative county is standing against crazy leftist policies that violate the Constitution. This is true in other counties. And you've got the sanctuary county movement all across Oregon. Counties choosing to become sanctuary counties against unconstitutional gun laws. If you want encouragement how to stand up, that's how you do it. You see, the left is really only interested in stealing elections at the national level. Oh, yeah, sometimes the state level. More on that later. But they don't care about school boards necessarily. They don't care about mayoral elections. Now, it does happen. But this is your opportunity, folks. We are the last line of defense, along with our sheriffs and our local elected officials, because we still have power. States still have power. This is the other point I made. The pushback that is going to be successful is going to be from states, red states that band together. And if you want a state that's purple to turn red, you get people elected and appointed at these all of these local levels because they push back. Now, we're getting close to the break here. I'm going to share with you, folks, the left and the elites are not going to go quietly because there's something going on in America. It's big and it's just beginning and it's different than anything I've seen. And they are not going to go away quietly. There's a piece written in The Last Refuge today, along with a lot of other stories that I'm going to get into, including these Oregon counties that are coming out against House Bill 2379, which is a new huge tax on timber. Right when burnt out communities are trying to recover. The Liberal Democrats, yeah, they want to raise your cost of living even more. Plus a lot of other things, but this conservative treehouse, folks, piece, it's called Chaff and Countermeasures. It happens in D.C. and it happens in Salem. You got to listen to this. Back in a moment at 6:20. Come on and sing my song.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past 6 o'clock, or you can send me an email like Dwight did, and you can send it, by the way, to jeff@kslm.news or jeff@1220.am. Says, as we're all aware, illegal immigration is going through the roof since Joe Biden was named president. My fear is that with the substantial increase in border problems, there will be a corresponding increase in crime, such as the one in McMinnville, described in the KPTV account below. Although I'm sure the authorities know the status of the criminal, legal or illegal citizenship is never conclusively addressed in the accounts of the crime. That's right, because it's politically incorrect. He continues, this is irritating to me as I believe sanctions contribute to a higher crime rate. How can voters make intelligent voting decisions if these acts are not adequately disclosed? Legal means legal. Illegal means illegal. This is a political hot button illustrating the value of a Donald Trump presidency. You're right. It does. He's going to stay active, as he should, on this issue. It will continue, and we can use it successfully. And then I'll get to Dale's email. He's very frustrated by the Oregon Senate Republicans, as he should be. We all are. Because they are not intending to walk out, is what I'm told. Some are, some are not. It's where you come in, folks. You've got to contact them. I'll put it in the show links again, how you can email them. It's really easy. You can pick up the phone and call them. You want to preserve your Second Amendment right to defend yourself and your family and not get arrested in a felony trap? That's what Senate Bill 554 is all about, folks. It keeps you from defending your family. And if it happens, it's because Republicans didn't walk out. There's a lot of other stuff Republicans need to walk out over, and this is just one of them. Chaff and countermeasures. You ever wonder why the elites never are held accountable? Well, it happens in D.C., and we're seeing it play out. And it's a process, and it happens in Salem. It's called chaff and countermeasures. And I'm going to share it with you in this great piece in the Refuge. And I'm going to take some time with this, so I want you to, in all seriousness, I want you to hold your calls, okay? I know you shouldn't say that in a talk radio show, but this is the reality. If you call, just figure you're going to be on hold for a bit, okay? This is important. It's important to your future. Lindsey Graham deploys uniparty outrage, chaff, and countermeasures. This is an article from yesterday. He was on with Maria Bartiromo. Right-wing Graham is outraged, shocked, and verklempt at the policies being advanced by the left wing of the uniparty bird. And he just talked about all of the horrible things they're doing. Graham is what Native Americans aptly describe as speaking with forked tongue. Understanding the D.C. game of chaff and countermeasures is a measure. A countermeasure is a measure or action taken to counter or offset a preceding one. Politically speaking, the deployment of countermeasures is a well-used tactic by professional politicians in Washington, D.C., and I'm going to add Salem, to counter incoming public inquiry and protect themselves from anger expressed by the electorate. Guys, remember Tea Party stuff? Or Stop the Steal? They continue. The uniparty leadership is very skilled in the deployment of chaff, which is outrage, and countermeasures, which is the distraction. Weaponized government takes action and creates victims. I'm going to say that again. Let that sink in. Weaponized government takes action, creates victims. And I'm going to stop for a second. I just want you to consider this. Government shut us all down over a fake Chinese virus. Oh, it's real, but the hype over it and its real damage to us and its real danger to us was fake. They took action. They shut down the economy, our lives, schools, and created a lot of victims, folks. I was told, and Representative Mike Nierman, by the way, who was at the Linn County event yesterday, thank you, Mike, and his lovely wife, Deborah, for coming down. I was told that in just the Santiam Canyon alone, in two school districts, that over 20 students have committed suicide in the last year. Now, we're trying to verify that. And Mike Nierman yesterday said, you know what they've done? They have made it almost impossible to find that data. It has to be gotten through a public records request. That's creating victims, folks. Weaponized government takes action and creates victims. Now, this continues. Beyond the outcome, the countermeasures are politicians assigned a role to control the incoming righteous inquiry from voters who find out about the weaponized or corrupt governmental action. And it looks like this. There are seven of these things. Get ready to write them down. Number one, the electorate became aware of a political issue or action, often illegal. That's one. Number two, the electorate becomes angry. Number three, the DC system or Salem uniparty needs to protect itself. Number four, countermeasures are assigned and deployed to delay, obfuscate, or create the illusion of investigation of the illegal government action. Number five, the electorate watches. Number six, the investigation goes nowhere. Number seven, there is no accountability or even change. Countermeasure deployment was successful. Repeat. Look familiar, and then the story has pictures of Congressman Daryl Issa in the Fast and Furious investigation, Congressman Jason Chaffetz, IRS targeting, Benghazi, DOJ election fraud in 206, and Lindsey Graham on FISA court abuse. There's a lot more, and I'm just getting started at 6:30. Don't wait.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. Stop the car.
24 minutes till the top of the hour. So here's what we're talking about today that ought to matter to you. Great reason to care. There is this thing called chaff and countermeasures. The elites in D.C. and the elites in Salem never seem to get held accountable because there are two systems of justice. That's exactly what they want to create. The very thing that has us spun up and angry is all done by design. And I'll share that with you in a moment. Freedom Heating and Air is a great Salem-based company. You just heard their commercial? And they are great patriots, folks. They give discounts to veterans, to seniors. More importantly, they just do a really good job at making your life better in a lot of ways. Clean air in your home is one of them. But also just taking care of you when an emergency like an ice storm happens to hit and you lose your electricity. Well, when it's time to keep it going and make it all work right again, they're there. FreedomHeatingAndAir.net. That's their website, FreedomHeatingAndAir.net. Do business with them, folks. They're one of our great advertisers. You've got your choice. But you really, truly should consider doing business with people who believe the way you do about liberty. That's Freedom Heating and Air, freedomheatingandair.net. So, Let's talk about Oregon for a moment. Do the elites, are they held accountable? Has Kate Brown been held accountable for anything? No. She handpicks 4 out of 7 of the Supreme Court justices, and they come up with a convoluted reason to say, yep, her executive orders are constitutional. Has the state of Oregon been held accountable? You see, there's a thing in the Oregon Constitution. Thank you, Chris Ann Hall. There's a little thing that says if government, and I'm paraphrasing, shuts down your business, government has to compensate you for it. Did you know that was in the Oregon Constitution? It is. Is government doing that today? No. In fact, this is not the U.S. Constitution. This is Oregon's Constitution. It's not the U.S. government's role. This is Oregon's role. Are they compensating us for it? No. Instead, they're fining our businesses. A la Courthouse Club Fitness. A la these restaurants that get fined. Other businesses that get fined. When the snitches are out there snitching on them. Government has to compensate us according to the Oregon Constitution. Is it happening? No. When John Kitzhaber had to resign in disgrace because he was a crook, what was his ultimate accountability? Oregon Ethics Commission fined him $25,000. When the first girlfriend, who was obviously highly guilty of actual crimes, was she prosecuted? No. She got a $100,000 fine. The elites are never held accountable. Kate Brown's not held accountable. In Washington, D.C., you have all of this stuff that's happened. And we hear now from John Solomon that John Durham's going to return indictments and that his investigation's going to be done in 5 or 6 weeks. Man, how often have we heard that? And nothing ever happens. Now, I did put this on the show plan. Rod Rosenstein is now admitting that he did discuss recording Donald Trump wearing a wire with Andrew McCabe. And in fact, it's even bigger than that. It is likely that he actually, along with Robert Mueller, went to the Oval Office on May 16th, 2017, and that he actually did record President Trump on that day. How do we know that? Well, this story is also in The Last Refuge. It is the piecing together of all kinds of other disparate bits of information that have had to be released. This is how we know that. Has Rod Rosenstein been held accountable? No. Because of chaff and countermeasures. The D.C. countermeasures are deployed as an act to act as shiny distractions, keeping the larger electorate satisfied something is being done. Countermeasures are designed to create investigations that go nowhere. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Nothing to see here. Move along now, folks. The goal is not resolution or justice. The goal is to deflect, create distraction, and eventually dilute or diminish the outrage over time. Keep kicking the can until it rusts and simply falls apart. The political system in D.C. has become so massive, it is now capable of protecting itself. Any attempt to reduce the influence, scope, or size of the system is considered a risk. The system is, in essence, protecting itself. Deep state is self-aware. In the context of artificial intelligence, in 2001 Space Odyssey, now a reality, DC is now self-aware. Political countermeasures are now deployed as human articles of self-preservation. The question is, do the elites care if we know about this? That's accurately answered by, they want the people to know. The outlook that elites are hypocritical is the wrong nuance to what is visible. Their openness about their untouchable constructs is part of their purpose. Elitism, in its most raw and brutal display, is a system of people who are beyond reproach according to their own outlook. They must not be questioned. Does that sound like Queen Kate? Kind of does, doesn't it? They are in ultimate control of society outcomes, or fill in the blank, as an extension of their self-proclaimed magnanimity. Essentially, they are projecting their position inside a club, and all those not in the club are outsiders who do not get to provide input or judgment on the club rules. This sounds like a duh statement of the literal definition of elitism. However, it must be accepted that this outlook is one of consumption, not determination. They believe they represent the greater good, and by extension, control moral authority. Thus, within their mind, they are above reproach. The visible outcome is that they operate outside the systems they push upon others who are not in the club. That's you and I. Elites don't have to wear masks, or elites don't have to abide by group and social distance rules. Pelosi, Newsom, or elites don't have to concern themselves about carbon emissions. John Kerry flying around the world in a private jet. Or elites don't have to worry about the justice system. Clinton emails, Comey, FBI's lies, blah, blah, blah. This is not hypocrisy. This is a fundamental part of creating a classist society. Rules for me and not for thee is more than a catchphrase. It's an actual worldview with a history in political control. These are not hypocrites. They are living out their creed, just like the Fabian socialists did. The Fabian socialist outlook is the most extreme form of liberal elitism, rather. The actual extermination of undesirables, Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood. But it is essentially along the same continuum as believing that there are two sets of rules, depending on your place in the hierarchy of society. This outlook has been modernized to include the latest industry of big tech. Those who control technocracy have merged with those who control the politics of society. The outcome is elites deciding which voices are allowed to participate in the national conversation and which voices must be ostracized because they are not compliant to the elitist worldview. It is critical, actually beyond critical, that people start to accept that they are now, what they are now witnessing is not some misplaced system created by bad actors. Those bad actors are actually the elites who benefit from numbing society to the sheer audacity of their ideology. Those who understand big picture dynamics are still comfortable sticking their heads in the sand about motive. Most people are still clinging to the actual beliefs around a principle of rule of law that applies to national leadership. You'd better change that thinking quickly, or you'll be asking what happened far too late. There seems to be a willful blindness on the part of the American people, a chosen refusal to acknowledge the implication of un-American, unconstitutional behaviors, actions, and outcomes we are being served on a daily basis. It can no longer be presumed to be a matter of, I can't see what's happening because a whole lot of normal Americans really are clean and articulate. No, I can't see it, just doesn't cut it anymore. Nonsense. Most people can see it. Most people are choosing to reconcile the irreconcilable because it's more comforting to ignore the truth of it. Just be honest. For many people, avoidance has become a survival mechanism. I'll end this, and we'll talk about it further, what this means to you and I, and how we fix it when we come back at 6:48. No, that's not poverty.
faces as they march through town to the riverside. They baptize believers in this celebration.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. Do you share my frustration? Is your frustration that the elites are never held accountable and that government has been weaponized against us? Do you share that frustration? Because I think you probably do. Chaff and countermeasures. That's exactly what's been happening to us for years now. I mean, you think back. This has been going on a long time, folks. Think back to the Kennedy assassination. What did they do? Well, they simply locked up all of the evidence for 50 years. Because then all the people who were responsible for his assassination were all going to be dead and gone, and it wouldn't matter. DC protecting itself. So we become angry as people when we understand the injustice that's occurred. And we take action. And the system, whether it's in Salem or DC, lets us and wants us to vent the chaff, the outrage. And then they begin the countermeasures, the fake investigations that never really lead anywhere, and nobody gets held accountable. And somehow we just blindly go back to burying our head in the sand. And that's the end of this article. That is so true. I'm going to repeat it. Most of us are choosing to reconcile the irreconcilable, which is exactly what this is, because it's more comforting to ignore the truth of this. Just be honest. For many people, avoidance has become a survival mechanism. Isn't that true? It is. We have to act on this, folks, because this is morally and ethically wrong. You see, they want us to know. They want us to know this stuff. And then they want us to realize that over and over and over again, history repeats itself. Outrage at government actions, at government weaponized to act against us, produces a fake investigation by the swamp creatures like Lindsey Graham, Bill Barr, Rod Rosenstein. And it goes nowhere. John Durham, it will go nowhere. I hope and pray I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. And why are they so arrogantly wanting us to know all of this? Because they know we get discouraged and we will simply bury our heads in the sand. Say, I can't understand it. I don't get it. It's not right. I don't like it. But I'm just going to protect myself and hope they don't hurt me too badly. That's why they arrogantly ram this stuff right down our face, right here in Oregon, with these bills that are going to require public education to teach transgenderism. And you can go on and on and on. The establishing, the unconstitutional establishment of a fund of money that is only given to black-owned businesses. It's in your face. We have a governor, the first bisexual governor in America. It's in your face. And if you dare speak against it, then they accuse you of being a racist or a homophobe. And they dox you. And they attack you publicly. Or they attack you officially. Like apparently the Antifa folks did the Portland public schools. Folks, did you see that? They broke in the headquarters and burned up a bunch of vehicles, made national news. Because you see, they have big tech on their side. They have the mainstream media on their side, which will rarely hold any of them accountable in Oregon. They have social media, as I've just articulated. And they have an army of Antifa people, an army of unionized employees that feed the beast with your tax dollars through union dues. And they are arrogant about it. So how do we fight back? Well, first of all, we don't get discouraged. In fact, we turn the outrage into determined behavior. The first is you pray, because we need a divine intervention. There's no doubt about that. And I'm telling you, when I started the show about how there's something going on in America, there is, and it's different, and I've never seen it. And it's not just starting in the churches, because it is starting in the churches. Something's different inside the churches, and there had better be, because the church is responsible for allowing this swamp and this evil ideology of control to become what it's become. And it ain't going to happen anymore. So you pray. And then you become determined to be involved. You become determined to go fill, to get appointed to or run for an election, for something, and stand up against this nonsense. And you are determined to persuade the persuadable. Because there are people in your world who are persuadable. And you take these things that happen, whether it's Oregon-centric or it's Washington, D.C., where the elites rule us and they arrogantly rule us. And you use these examples we talk about to help people wake up that their liberty is truly in danger here, that unless they take a stand, they're going to lose it all. And you do that. A lady yesterday asked me a really great question at the Republican meeting in Linn County in Brownsville. She said, I have friends who listen to these flowery words of the left about justice and these things, and they don't understand what it really means because it is complicated. How do we fix that? And I said, you talk about what that means to the person you're talking to. So in other words, if you're talking about justice, you have to relate the complicated idea at the most basic level, and it's simply this: this person's justice hurts you, and that's not justice, is it? And you use the word elites that are never held accountable. All right, 1 hour gone. Time for phone calls, folks. What do you think of all this? And I've got more, by the way, a lot more, but I want to get your thoughts on it. Back in a moment. Somewhere.